We'll start off by telling a short story. A minister, many years ago, went round to the house of a man who had not been at church for a few weeks. The minister knocked on the door of the man's house on a miserable winter's evening. When the man answered the door, his first thought was, "I'm going to get a stormy sermon and a telling off from the minister for not attending over the last few weeks." But he asked the minister if he would like to come in for a cup of tea. The minister came in and chose a seat near the roaring coal fire while the man made a pot of tea. After a few minutes, the man came through and sat down and poured the tea for them both. Apart from the initial invite into the house, nothing had been said by either man, and the awkward silence ensued. The minister was looking intently into the fire, and he picked up a pair of tongs and he picked one of the reddest, brightest coals from the middle of the fire and sat it on the hearth. While both men sat drinking their tea, they watched the red coal slowly cool in heat, colour and intensity, until it was little more than a black ember with wisps of smoke coming from it. The man looked at the minister and was about to start an awkward apology with excuses as to why he hadn't been to church over the last few weeks, when the minister picked up the tongs once again and took the black, dead coal and placed it back into the fire. The heat from the other coals started to warm up the dead coal until it was once more glowing, red hot, and part of the fire. The minister looked at his watch, drank the last bit of his tea, thanked his host, who was choking back a tear, and the host said to the minister, "Thank you for your fiery sermon. I'll see you next week in church." So how does this story relate and apply to us and those in the wider church at the end time who have heard the truth that we have been delivered at this end time? So returning the ember to the fire, there are a number of parables which relate to this story. If you'd like to turn with me, please, to Luke 15. Very famous parables. And it's interesting because we're always taught if something's in the Bible once, it's important. If it's in there twice, it's very important. Three times, we really need to get it. And in chapter 15 of Luke, there are three parables about something being lost, being found. Starting in verse 1, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmuring, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke this parable to them, saying, 'What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which I had lost. I have found the sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And then the next parable is about the lady who lost the silver, and she again finds it. And then dropping down to verse 11, and it's about the young man who asks his father for his portion of his inheritance, and he goes to the far, goes out, and he wastes it all on living the good life. And just dropping down to verse 17, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still far away off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." And it goes down saying how the father threw a great party because his son that was lost had returned. And in verse 32, after his other son had complained that he thought it was unfair, the father said, "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So these three separate parables talk exactly about the same thing, about the coal that had gone cold, it had left the fire and was now back, and how happy and how joyous it is. Talking about someone that had left the church and who returns. We need to encourage and welcome the returning son, the lost sheep coming back into the fold. When our lost brothers and sisters return, like all of us, they have baggage. They've had experiences. We are not perfect, none of us. They, just like we did when the shattering occurred, have sat through sermons which were off track. And when they return, if they offend us, which they may well do, which is described in the in Matthew's account of the lost sheep, or just after that, we need to forgive them. Forgive them 70 times 7, just like our Father in heaven forgives us, all of us. However, we need to be very aware of any wolves in sheep's clothing. The son who returned to the father humbled himself to the point of not calling himself son, but rather asked to be a servant. We need to see what the fruit is being produced, because that is how we can see whether they are for us or against us. Unfortunately for some, it will take events in the tribulation before they return to the flock. But even as verse 7 said in chapter 15 of Luke, there is more joy in heaven over one who returns than the 99 who never left. So staying in the fire in this shattered church. In the end time church, we are scattered all around the world. Times in groups as we are here. Times just small handfuls. A family here, a family there. One person here, one person there. Where the nearest church member may be hundreds or thousands of miles away. It's difficult to stay within the fire, being one of those hot coals, being encouraged and encouraging each other, edifying each other in the shattered church. But let's turn to Leviticus 23, right at the beginning, Leviticus 23. Because there are some who choose at this end time to stay deliberately by themselves on the Sabbath. Leviticus 23, and starting in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. And in verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath and a solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So it is a commanded assembly. The Strong's number for convocation is 04744, and it means sacred assembly, and is the same word used 11 times in Leviticus 23, where it is also dealing with the sacred assembly for the holy days. So, the weekly Sabbath, we are commanded to assemble. How do we do that if we are thousands, hundreds of miles away? Well, thankfully, we have technology which 30 years ago was still in the realms of Star Trek and sci-fi. This end-time church has been blessed with the ability to hook up and broadcast services via the internet. We can participate in the singing of hymns together, whether we are by ourselves or in a group. We can listen and to the opening and closing prayers and listen to the service. Whilst we may be unable to assemble together in one place, we are assembled together before God around the world at the same time, listening to the service. We have the ability to fellowship in the chat room and in the fellowship forum. We can video link up or voice talk to someone on Skype and our brothers and sisters anywhere in the world. We can call each other on the phone and talk often one with another. However, within the wider church, as I mentioned, there are people who no longer choose to assemble together, but rather hold services by themselves for a number of reasons, which they believe are valid reasons. However, the weekly Sabbath is a commanded assembly. It is not something we can choose to do. It is essential. It is essential that we fellowship with those of like mind in order that the fire within us does not cool and go out like that coal sitting on the hearth. In Revelation 3, we won't turn there, it says, "And the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." So staying hot, how do we stay hot? Turn please to Hebrews 10. Now this is the one book in my Bible that always seems to move location. Hebrews 10, found it. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Just look out around this world. The day is approaching very, very soon. But the word exhorting is Strong's number 3870. And it's to address or to speak to console, to encourage and strengthen by consolation, to comfort, to encourage, strengthen, exhorting and comforting and encouraging. So this is what we all gain. This is what we all do for each other on the virtual chat room, on our virtual meeting together. So in conclusion, in this end time, when we are running to and fro, when the trials associated with this evil and godless society are putting weight upon us, we need to make sure we are staying in the middle of the fire and not sitting on the hearth cooling slowly down. We need to make sure that we are assembling together on the weekly Sabbath as commanded, whether that is by ourselves or, if at all possible, with other brothers and sisters. However, we have the promise that our shepherd will leave the other 99 sheep in the flock and go out and find the lamb which has wandered off. And the joy associated with finding and the safe return of that lamb is greater than over those who never left the flock. Within the fire grate, we need to be encouraging and exhorting each other in good works and holding fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. And just quoting Malachi 3, verse 16 and 17, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke one to another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate or esteem his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day I will make them my special treasure."